The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Hanukkah edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And, by the way, you can also listen to the archived versions of Animal World. And I suspect once you hear, if you hear today's show, you may want to share it with other people, because Anne and Oatneal's story is so incredible, and all the work that Anne is doing now. And so you just go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, and click on the audio archives link on the homepage, and that will take you to the audio archives, and you can listen to the show that way. Of course, we have to do it first before it's going to be there.
you got to wait a few hours.
Yeah, you got to wait a few hours before you can listen to this show. But you can listen to past shows that way. And by the way, Mike Roberge is here, and Gordon DeBaragon is here, and Oatneal Baragon is here. Because she's a day, that's of, by the way. I know that from Spanish.
Yes.
And we're going to be telling their story in just a moment. By the way, I forgot to mention that we are still at Animal World looking for a call screener if you are interested. It is a volunteer position, or we'll trade you for advertising if you have a business or product that you'd like to promote on the air. It you don't have to come in the third Sunday of every month, because that's Kim and Kevin Sunday, and Kim hauls Julie along, and she calls screens for them. But, and the others, we don't always need a call screener, but I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in call screening for Animal World. You can go to marthanorwalk.com and shoot me an email at contactmartha, or email us at animalworldlive@hotmail.com during the show, or you can call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. All right, before we go to Panama, let us finish up with the best good news about Animal World, about animals. It is the Animal World,
I
guess.
It is.
Best good news about animals. First up is dolphin stuff. There's a lot of good news about dolphins, actually.
Very cool.
Sort of. We start off that 2011 draws to a close. It's time to look around the world at what we've accomplished for dolphins and how your help is paying off. And this comes from, with a similar story, Rick O'Berry from Save Japan Dolphins. And Rick O'Berry, of course, was a dolphin trainer who trained Flipper. And then, of course, realized the incredible trauma that that dolphins go through, and of course has become an advocate for dolphins ever since. And a lot of that kind of, you know, and you've had similar experience being, you know, zookeeper, being animal trainer, and you know, I remember the days of going to the golf course with lions and tigers and Anne in Redmond.
Marymore.
But so he, this is the urine. He says in major hotspots where dolphins are under threat, our team keeps answering the call. In Taiji, Japan, I joined our team and 18 volunteers from seven countries to press for an end to the slaughter. We're keeping cove monitors in Taiji, and the dolphin killing is down, but not over. Dolphin meat sales have plummeted by more than 30% in the past year, and we aim to drive it far lower. This work isn't easy or safe. The Japanese government has a new contingent of policemen and a full-sized Coast Guard vessel to, quote, protect the dolphin killers, spending big bucks to fight off the worldwide pressure we are bringing, especially after the earthquake, tsunami, nuclear meltdown. It is ludicrous that Japan is pouring money into subsidizing the killing of dolphins and whales. but we will not rest until the killing stops. Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, in Indonesia, this is really good. Mm-hmm. They have successfully this year gotten a national ban on the capture of dolphins.
Fabulous.
Built the first ever dolphin rescue release sea pen.
Wow, that's
and are
great.
Awaiting confiscation of illegally caught dolphins so that they can rehab and release them to their home waters.
That is so great.
In the Solomon Islands, they reached an agreement with tribes to stop the killing of thousands of dolphins every year and forced out the main dolphin trader.
Wow.
As of January 1st, 2012, there will be a national ban on all further dolphin captures.
Yahoo.
How cool is that?
Doesn't get any better than that.
Okay, I'll pass that over to you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, and it's quite disturbing to me that I've even heard from and seen reported in other sources that Japan is using some of the tsunami relief money to support
that.
Their whaling fleet.
Did
you hear that? I think that was that in the news last week, Mike. I can't remember, or I may not have. But anyway, there was a report that Japan is using some of the tsunami relief funds, and they have hired a big guard ship to guard the mm-hmm. Japanese whaling fleet because, right. Greenpeace and all of those people Sea Shepherd, yeah. The whale wars guys mm-hmm. have done such incredible damage to their whale hunting trips.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not okay for them to use tsunami relief.
No, absolutely not. No.
I was hoping that with the tsunami and all of that, they were going to have to put all their money into, fixing Japan, that they wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's get back. We are in the good news section, by the way.
Okay, let's go back to that part.
Did you all see on Thursday, December 15th, the front page of the Seattle Times? What day did you arrive in Seattle, Ann?
December 15th.
Uh-huh. And guess what's on the front page?
Mm-hmm.
As whale sightings go, this is big. Blue whales, which is a very rare occurrence mm-hmm. up here, have been sighted off the coast of Washington, and there were like six of them or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the biggest mammal on the planet.
Yeah, bigger than the dinosaurs were.
Bigger than the dinosaurs were. Mm-hmm. Right, and they get to 90 to 100 feet in the right. southern hemisphere,
right.
but 75 to 80 feet in the northern hemisphere. And then there's a picture here on Search Seattle Times for this. As whale sightings go, this is big. A picture of the gray whales, which are huge, and mm-hmm. then the orcas. I mean, it's like right. you can see the difference.
Yeah, in compared to a light rail train.
Compared, yeah, it's like, holy mackerel. And these blue whales can weigh like 150 tons or something. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah, they say their heart is so big that a child could crawl through the aorta.
Yeah, the valves.
Isn't that incredible?
And the heart weighs 2 tons.
Right, right.
Holy. Seems hard to imagine.
It's very hard to comprehend.
Yeah. Yeah. The big boys.
The big boys. Was,
the biologists were 25 miles off of Westport, and they were actually out there to look for other kinds of whales.
Mm-hmm. Humpbacks, I think.
Yeah, they were looking for humpbacks, mm-hmm. and apparently when other whales, spout out their holes,
right?
It's like a little spout out.
Yeah, humpback goes 15 feet, and a blue whale, 30 feet into the air.
And they say like it's up there for like ever. And so they saw one of these mm-hmm. big old spouts. So you can met, and even in their little boat, they mm-hmm. scooted out there
mm-hmm.
and got to see all of these blue whales and came back with like 100 or more photographs and six blue whales. So anyway, there's and the interesting thing about these whales is they're baleen whales. They don't
correct.
They eat like the krill, the
yes.
little
guys.
Little things.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting how some of the largest creatures
yeah.
eat the littlest,
mm-hmm.
the tiniest things.
Mm-hmm.
But they eat a bunch.
Eat a whole lot of them, yes.
So I was originally, when I saw this story, and I was sitting, I get, woo-woo alerts. I get, messages from Spirit, you know, almost immediately now when I'm preparing the show and all of this. And I'm always amazed that how when I have specific guests planned on the show, there's usually always animal-related stories in the news that relate to those guests.
And synchronicity.
Thursday, when I looked at the paper, I thought, blue whales, oh, that's cool. And I didn't realize when I saw the blue, I didn't know how rare an occurrence this is. You know, I just thought, oh, blue whales, that's cool. Okay. Anne's on the show. This is perfect timing. Yes. I'll ask Anne about the whales and why they're here. And immediately I got, you don't need to ask. The whales are here to celebrate Anne's arrival. She's coming home, and the whales came to celebrate. Anne's doing really incredible work with the whales. So welcome home from
Thank
the whales.
You. Thank you, whales.
How cool is this?
Mm-hmm. And one thing I have learned from the whales is that when they do come closer to areas that we are not normally seeing them or closer to humans and cities, it means that we're doing something right. It's they're acknowledging our inner work and that we're shifting, we're transforming, we're opening our hearts, and they're acknowledging that.
And I, of course, when she told me that before the show, I said, they're here acknowledging your work, Anne. That's why they're here in this case. But I also think, I don't think there are absolutes. I think there's different ways. And I'm going to now, I'm told, share a story with you because I teach what's called, you know, the human to animal transference, and that are, you know, animals pick up, process, and reflect back what's going on with the humans.
Sure.
And one of the things that the masters have taught me is that, and certainly this falls into what you just said, that our domestic animals pick up, process, and reflect back what's going on with their owners and the humans they live with.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
But that wild animals are reflective of the mass consciousness of the people around them. Okay, so certainly that would be a reason why whales that don't come to another place would come in when the mass consciousness is doing good stuff.
Of course.
Whales, of course, are very elevated beings and all of that. But one of the stories that I tell in the seminars I teach about the human to animal transfers and to express this aspect of it, of how the wild animals reflect the mass consciousness, is if you remember back, I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was a number of years ago when had the horrendous fires in Los Angeles and then all the rioting and fighting took place. And there, it was a whole weekend that the city was just up at arms and they were all fighting with each other and stealing and killing and all this stuff going on. While that was going on, right off the coast of Los Angeles, it did not get a lot of press because, of course, everybody was covering the rioting and
everything else. Yeah.
Two pods of whales came together and started battling each other.
Wow.
And it totally baffled all the whale, the marine mammal people and the scientists and all. They had no clue why all of this happened. And as soon as the rioting calmed down and everything stopped in Los Angeles, the whales stopped fighting and went back to their normal business. And when I tuned in and asked what was going on, what I was told by the whales at that point was, well, that this was an example of the human to animal transference. And had, if we knew about this, we would look at it and say, oh, gee, two pods of whales fighting with each other and trying to kill each other. That's really abnormal behavior for them. And they shouldn't be doing that. We would then say, oh, gosh, look at us humans fighting and killing each other. That's abnormal. We're not supposed to be doing that. We should stop it. And we would learn from, but we didn't and we don't and all of that. But so see, sometimes,
absolutely, they do. They do pick up on us. Absolutely.
Exactly, and oh, that was reminds me of something else. Years ago, well, you know, all the sea lions that come to like the locks and eat the salmon and all of that. Well, when I was asked to talk to the sea lions, and couldn't you just talk them out of doing this and not eating all the salmon? And I tuned in with them. What I got from them at that time was, once again, this is human to animal transference, so forth. They said that you humans are so paranoid that there will never be enough salmon.
A lack. You're
that,
a lack.
That we can't, we have to do this. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to do, mm-hmm. reflecting your belief system. Uh-huh. And until you believe mm-hmm. that there is always enough for everyone, uh-huh. and there is no, you know, yada, 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 yeah. then...
No big deal.
So go figure out. See, the animals know more than we do.
Absolutely, they do.
So anyway, woohoo. All right. Sitting in the studio with me, I am just so pleased. Ann Gordon de Baragon, you all remember, as a friend and colleague of mine, we go back many, many years.
Many years.
But we do know that you've been in the studio a few times, but mm-hmm. not since Como days. Mm-hmm. And I met you because of your animal training with, and somehow, you know, I being a dog trainer at the time and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, and you were training, doing your movie animals, and you mm-hmm. just didn't do, well, you did dogs and cats and that
sure.
kind of stuff, but you housed mm-hmm. and cared for and trained a lot of exotic animals as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, big cats, tiger, lion, wolves, raccoons.
Cougars, I remember.
Yeah, cougars, sure.
And you had beavers for a while. And like we said, you were the movie animal trainer for Harry and the Hendersons,
Northern Exposure, Legends
of the Fall.
No, that's
right.
Fall.
That was your moose, wasn't it? Or somebody else's moose, but you worked with it?
I was in charge of all the animals on Northern Exposure, and the moose came from Washington State University. He was an orphan that they were using for nutritional research.
Every time, you know, because that show is in syndication, that still runs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And every time I see the beginning of that, I think of Ann, and when I see the moose.
There I was, leading him around town with bananas.
Is that how you got him?
It was.
But yeah, but you were majorly involved with animals and movie training and all of that as the world of animal training kind of evolved.
It was interesting when I was involved with animal training for film. We've been using like things like clickers for wild animals and house cats for years and years and years before.
Well, I think clicker training began with the use of marine mammals.
Right, the operant conditioning, that whole thing. Yeah, so we've been using it in the wild animal world for a long time before it became popular and positive reinforcement, because how can you discipline a bear or a tiger? Because you can't. So you use positive and you make it fun. And so that has now been incorporated into the domestic world, which is fabulous.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking more of, because I take, don't get me started. do you know you can't take bad dogs to obedience school anymore?
It's like,
what is the point of going to obedience school if you can't take bad dogs? Well, anyway, so don't get me started on that. That's for Behavior Training and Healing Sunday. The next one will be January 1st.
Don't get her started.
Okay,
trust me. If you have bad dogs and you need help, I do work with bad dogs. Well, and there are bad dogs. I mean, their behavior is bad. They're always wonderful, but we can change that and educate the human at the same time. But I was thinking in terms of, yes, in the operant conditioning and the mm-hmm. clicker training and mm-hmm. stuff with the wild animals, mm-hmm. because for many years, you know, it's beat 'em or chain 'em mm-hmm. and all the force stuff. But mm-hmm. that really has changed a lot.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But then also I think so many of the people out of that era that, like the Rickleberries and, mm-hmm. and a lot of people that worked with training these wild animals and so forth have recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Or gotten into their hearts and
right.
heart openings and so forth, that it really isn't serving the greater good of these animals
mm-hmm.
to do these things with them.
Right, yeah.
But nonetheless, that's how we knew Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And then there came a point where, because you would travel around, you were often working up in Canada doing mm-hmm. movies, shoots
right.
and stuff, and, right. and different. And I remember, weren't you the handler of Benji or something?
I was.
The dog?
The new
for
Benji.
A while,
yeah.
Maybe, and that's one of, because you were in, we did a show about that.
Right.
Because
right.
you were the handler of the new Benji.
Correct.
And so we talked about all of that. But mm-hmm. then at some point, you were hired to do a movie that must have had something to do with the jungles and stuff in Panama.
Yeah, I was hired to work on a film that I almost turned down because I was working on another show called Chestnut that was very, very stressful.
Uh-huh.
And I got a call from a producer friend here in Seattle who said, I have this great script. We're going to Panama and we need an animal trainer. Why don't you come? And I said, you know, I'm really tired and I don't want to go to Panama. And you know, now I want to retire. No. He says, no, you got to read the script. It's really great. You got to check this out. I'm like, I don't want. He says, no, really, really. All right. Send me the script. So he sent me the script, and I'm reading it in bits and pieces. And normally, I like to sit and read the whole thing, but I was on set working, didn't have block of time to sit and read the whole thing. And the animal work was very difficult. They wanted me to do it by myself.
So what kind of animal work are you talking about?
I'm talking about a jaguar attack. I'm talking about wild boars running in the forest. I'm talking about parrots and monkeys working free. And
of course, you just don't have a backyard full of those kind of animals that are already trained.
No, I don't. There are, but they didn't want me to bring anything in. They wanted me to find the animals in Panama.
Oh, they wanted you to haul them out of the wild and
well,
get them to
find
do,
captive
or
ones
find
there.
Captive ones there.
That I knew were not going to be trained to
piece
what
of
I need.
Yeah,
right.
Jeez.
And the script was quite violent, so I'm reading this, going, I don't want any part of it. And then I got to the very end, and without spoiling the movie, there's a really incredibly beautiful culmination. The film, a huge turnaround.
An awakening, so to speak.
Awakening, including an angelic visitation.
Oh.
So I was like...
Oh, I'm getting a surge of energy on that.
It was so cool. And so I'm like, I have to do this movie. So I went to Panama.
And when was this?
This was in January 2004.
Wow, January 2004. So, I didn't realize it had been that long ago.
It is amazing.
See, I've wanted to do this interview for a long time, but I told you it was a long time.
Yeah.
Because that's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I count, geez. So, off to Panama you went.
Off to Panama
I remember when you went.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what is that girl thinking?
Going on a job. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go have a good time.
And then we were thinking, that's pretty cool. You were going to the jungles of Panama and stuff.
Experience the jungles. And... the movie was scripted for Ecuador, but as we do in films, we often shoot wherever it's financially, logistically more feasible to do so. So we shot in Panama, and the movie is about a tribe of Indians in Ecuador.
Uh-huh.
And where they actually live is still a three-day journey with no infrastructure, no electricity, no nothing. So we shot in Panama, and they hired the Embera Indian tribe as the actors on the film.
Ah, now, so the Embera is how you say it.
Yes.
I apologize.
How do we say? ¿Cómo se dice?
Embera.
There you go. Embera.
Embera.
A little bit of nasal in their language.
Embera. Embera tribe. And that would be O'Neill's tribe.
Correct. So they hired the Embera as actors. And so I got to hang out with them on the movie set.
Well, and now, so let's talk a little bit about when you're saying that they hired the tribe and then Embera tribe. It's like, is this like a modern tribe? You know, like we think of our Native Americans. Native Americans here, like in Washington State, they live on a reservation and they do everything that all of that. But I don't think that's what we're talking about.
We are not talking about that. Thank you for pointing that out. The Embera people still live in traditional villages in the rainforest jungle of Panama. No electricity, traditional palm thatch huts. They fish. They have interactions with the outside world. They have outboard motors on their boats, handmade dugout canoes. But they don't have electricity. They don't have internet. They don't have...
Okay,
you know,
so we're really talking native tribal life in the jungle of Panama.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they, Spanish is the native language?
No, it's my language, Embera.
Oh, it's Embera. Yeah. There's a specific Embera language?
There is. Would you like to, O'Neill, say a little bit in Embera?
Mena Chaba, Burasawambu.
Oh, of course, that makes total sense.
Yeah,
and what did he say?
He said, hello, friend.
Ah.
How are you?
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Amigo.
Thank you.
Amiga.
Thank you. Biabua.
Biabua. Thank you.
Biabua.
But, okay, but you are not speaking Embera.
No, we're speaking in Spanish. So
in Spanish. So you also speak Spanish?
Yeah.
And have always, so are there two languages in the tribe?
There are two languages in the tribe. His older brothers did not speak Spanish until they went to school. So learned it in the first grade.
Okay.
Because he's younger in the family, he grew up with both languages equally.
Okay,
but his parents,
I see.
parents, they speak Spanish, but very basic Spanish. I converse to them in Spanish, but I didn't even know that when
arrived. I remember when, I think when you came back from that movie, mm-hmm. or it might be, my memory is not serving me up, but I'm thinking that I might have interviewed you about this movie in Panama mm-hmm. before you went down there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure we didn't even talk. You didn't even call me from mm-hmm. in Panama mm-hmm. or something.
Something.
I remember us having mm-hmm. conversations uh-huh. at that time about right. what you were doing. And I remember saying, well, like, do you even speak Spanish? And I think you said no.
No, I didn't. I had it in high school, as you did.
Right.
And never used it.
And like you found out before the show, I can say the alphabet and count right. to 10 and right. remember my teacher's name. But, you right. know, throw me in a tribe in Panama, I can't. hello.
Yeah.
So that you didn't. So, okay. So the Embera tribe is hired as actors for
correct.
This movie. So take us from there.
Okay. So on the movie set, I'm hanging out with many of the Embera children, the ladies, and just was so touched by how warm and open and loving they are. There's so much human touch between the men, between the women. Mm. They're just so wonderful, so easy to be around, happy people, quick to laugh.
Isn't that me? We're learning, I think,
yeah.
especially spiritually, that the simpler the life,
mm-hmm.
the sweeter.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So, okay, mm-hmm. so you could feel that.
Oh, it's so easy. It was obvious. And there was one weekend I went out with some of the crew to one of the villages, because we brought them to us.
Where you were filming.
Where we were filming. And I spent the night in one of the villages, not O'Neill's village, and I woke up knowing that these people would be in my life forever.
Mm.
I did not
one
know
of those
how.
Heart-knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, you just knew it. And I didn't know how or what, but... So then, on the movie set, there happened to be this handsome young man working on the film.
Aha! Uh-huh. I guess I wonder who that was.
I don't know. And I had noticed him on set. And my Spanish couldn't get much past hola, ¿cómo está?
See?
End of conversation.
Uh-huh.
And...
Bueno, era muy difícil cuando llegó por primera vez a Panamá.
Mm-hmm.
Teníamos que buscar diccionario para hablar ella y yo.
Mm-hmm. He's saying that it was very difficult when we first met. When we spent time together, we had to look for a Spanish-English dictionary to keep between us. And I noticed him on set, but I didn't even try to have a conversation because I couldn't have one.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, we're from different cultures, we're from different countries, different languages.
And there's a bit of an age difference.
And there's
Sarah.
An age difference as well. And so I just thought, well, I'm just going to admire from afar because I'm going back to California and Washington and that'll be it. And then he came to me during a party and started trying to have a conversation. And then we tried as best we could at the party. And then the next day at work, he asked me out and he asked me a question that I did not know what it meant.
Mm.
And so there was enough bilingual people on the movie set, and I called over Jack Guzman, who is one of the lead actors in the film, American, Mexican-American, and he interpreted his request to take me out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So he was asking you on a date.
Yes, he was asking me on a date, and I didn't understand what he was asking.
So apparently, as simple... and tribal, mm-hmm. the life of the Embera tribe,
mm-hmm.
they date.
They date, it was more about spending time. You just wanted to come and spend time with me.
Okay.
Not, I mean, you don't go to the movies or you don't go out to dinner because there no such thing as a restaurant or a theater in the village. But he was asking to spend time with me, and we did. And then the next...
And I don't know how relationships work.
Mm-hmm.
In you know, tribal life, but you, O'Neill did not have a girlfriend or did he? Or
en ese día cuando conocimos, usted tenía novia en ese día.
Sí tenía, pero estábamos terminados ya.
Uh-huh. Said yeah, he had one, but they were ending.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to ask these things. Inquiring minds want to know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you went on a date?
Well,
what we did is we
went to the restaurant at the hotel where I was staying. The tribe stayed at a different location. So he came over and we went to the swimming pool and we went to dinner in the restaurant. And then there happened to be a little movie theater a couple blocks from where the hotel was. So we did that. And it was in English with Spanish subtitles, so it worked for us both. And interestingly enough, it was the modern Peter Pan, which I had which I'd seen, but I had never paid attention to. It's all about the first kiss.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even, I'm like, oh, okay, good first date movie.
Uh-huh.
And then we went back to my apartment, and he was going to stay there, but I'm like, okay, now what's going to happen? We started watching TV, tried to have a conversation. We couldn't. It just failed.
I can't fathom this. Can you, Mike? I mean, you're meeting someone. There's obviously an energetic
connection
and a but you can't communicate.
A first date is hard enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Under the best of circumstances.
Correct.
But to have the language barriers, wow, that's even harder.
It was. It was tough. So we started watching TV and he stood up and he said goodnight and he walked out to the other room where it was a two-bedroom apartment and he went to the other room and went to bed. He was a perfect gentleman.
Oh, huh.
And then the next morning, he invited me to go out and meet his family.
Oh, so this is like in the jungle?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know I know what it means in our culture, but I didn't know what it meant in his culture to meet the family.
Oh, well, share.
Yes.
What does it mean?
The same thing.
Oh.
It means that
This is someone important.
Yes.
Someone
yes.
I really care about.
Right.
Okay.
Meet the parents.
Meet the parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did that go?
Mi familia está muy feliz para ella. Tengo cinco hermanos y dos hermanas.
Five brothers, two sisters?
Correct.
Hey.
Dice mi papá y mamá están muy felices por encontrar una mujer, bueno, americana.
Does that mean your mother really likes Anne?
Yes, that's okay. What he's saying, is that his family is very happy that...
Hey, I might be able to make it in Panama. I'm sort of picking this up again.
Ella quiere venir a conocer una embera.
Okay, están esperando.
Well, he said they're waiting for you.
You could do a remote.
Oh, yeah.
Really remote. It'd be hard to get there. We have to have everything.
Take your tie line with you.
Yeah. Well, of course, we could just plug it into a tree.
Yeah, there you go.
Something. Yeah. So Otnia's family liked you. Now, they had not met you before? Were they part of the movie thing? Or you just meeting these familia?
His brother was on the movie and a sister-in-law, but... everybody else was out in the village and hadn't met me yet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they were really great. Everybody was a little shy, and it was because we couldn't really have a conversation.
Because you're with the family now, you can't speak any better with them.
No,
than
no
you
worse.
Could with O'Neill.
Yes.
So what you like? All yeah. Can you imagine going home, meeting the family for the first time in the tribe?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't wear a lot of clothes, do they?
No, the women are topless, and they wear a bright colored skirt, and the men wear loincloths.
How did you like do the native thing or did
I do wear the skirts. I do wear a shirt. I'm not my body's not accustomed to going without support.
Uh-huh.
So I mean they'd be fine if I went topless and when you're in the house.
I know if I'd been I would not be fine if, for me to
right,
do that because that's not the way we've been raised.
No, it's not the way we've been raised. Out there, you know, you're comfortable, but you know, physically I need to have something there.
Uh-huh.
And I'd get sunburned really fast.
Yeah,
really
that's right. Well, yeah, I would burn like to a crisp in like no time.
But if you're in the house has no walls, right?
Oh,
it's
only
one
a
big
top?
Open room, a roof and a floor.
Oh.
So,
well, that does remind everybody if they weren't here in the first hour, you said the temperature down there is always between 75 and 95.
Mm-hmm, every day
and
of the
we're
year.
Right on the equator pretty much.
Near
so,
the equator,
no difference in light and dark. So, and it's always a nice humidity level.
Mm-hmm.
So, there really is no need for clothing in the way that we.
No, you don't need it for warmth for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
or
maybe
or
a sunblock.
What about footwear, shoes, sandals?
¿Ustedes usan zapatos en la aldea?
No.
Nope.
No shoes either. Huh?
No shoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're meeting the family,
and they were great, a little shy at first, and you know everybody just hangs out in the house and talks and has a conversation. I just sit there and kind of absorb, and I learned really quickly because there's a lot of children. He's 5 brothers, 2 sisters. They're all married with children.
Mm.
So there's always kids around. So I love kids. So I learned really quickly that you can play with kids and you don't need language so much.
Yeah.
So you just play and you be silly and you make games. And their language is very basic. So they teach you. This is blue. This is red. This, you know, and they help you with your language. So they helped. Playing with the children helped a lot.
How fascinating.
And when you couldn't listen to the conversation or follow it, you just play with kids.
And you were accepted immediately by the familia?
La familia me aceptaron de una vez.
Sí.
Aceptaron
de una vez.
Because I think when we think about your family up here, hearing about what's going on down there, we have a few little raised eyebrows up here.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. For them, it's a bit of a shock, but understandably so. Mm-hmm. His family gets to meet me. They get to watch the relationship develop.
Right.
My family gets phone calls and an email. Guess what? I'm not coming home. I'm hanging with a guy in the jungle who's younger than me and totally different culture. So it is shocking.
We can't talk to each other.
Yeah, we can't have a conversation yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Oh, can you? So I feel so blessed now that to have been an observer in all of this, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, what is she thinking? You know, this is like, well, I was going, whoa, way to go, Anne. I mean, because it was really kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah, I felt like I was living.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Right.
Yeah, you got to trust me. You know, I know you don't get it. I understand that, but
yeah.
I felt like I was in a movie when it was first happening.
So, once you meet the family, then what happens?
Then we just started progressing and spending more and more time together.
And you were still filming the movie at
Correct.
This point? So
Correct.
There's still reason to be there.
That's right.
Work-wise.
Yes, I was there for 4 months filming the movie, and we met.
By the way, what is the name of this movie?
Ah, good question. It is called The End of the Spear.
The End of the Spear.
End of the Spear. So it's a double meaning. It's the tip point of the spear as well as the end of the era of using spears.
Uh-huh.
And it's on DVD. You can get it. It's a pretty good film, beautifully filmed. So it's a true story about a tribe of Indians in Ecuador that in 1956 killed 5 American missionaries because they believed they were coming to kill and eat them. So, but they were a pretty violent tribe.
And speaking of the movie and all of that, and so we can find it on DVD if we want to watch. That would be neat to see it and all of that. But when it came to the filming and all the animal stuff, because you said that was going to be quite a challenge in working with animals from Panama, number one, but the wild boars and there was an attack,
a jaguar attack
and all of that. Were you able to pull all of that off?
I was able to pull it off. I met with the director upon arriving and he and I worked through each scenario and he accepted my input. And made it, and it ended up being much easier than it was scripted.
I was having the feeling you might have had to change a few things.
Yeah, well, the way with my experience, and say, okay, well, this is what you want to portray. How about we do it this way? And he was very easy to work with. Now, the jaguar attack, I did convince them that the only way to pull that off safely was to bring in a cat from L.A. who was raised and trained for the film industry. That's not an animal you want to mess around with.
Yeah.
So we actually brought in a leopard, a black leopard from Hollywood that most people don't know the difference when they look at a leopard and a jaguar. So, and they're a little bit easier to work with. So we brought in a trained animal for that. Everything else I ended up did finding there.
So. Well, wild boars are not, they can be kind of dicey, can they not?
They can. The wild boar chase, the tribe was hunting. And what we did is we brought some local zoo animals and we just fenced them in. into an area and then just filmed them in there. So it wasn't that easy. That wasn't that difficult.
And who was the director on the film?
Jim Hannon was the director of the film.
Wow. The End of the Spear.
End of the Spear.
Well, I think we're all going to have to watch that now. And it's so much fun to watch a movie when you've heard kind of the backstory, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yes.
So, Oatmeal, did you have something to say?
Yeah. Mi personaje es Len Kiwi en la película. Cuando fui por primera vez con mi amigo Steven.
Something about your friend Steven.
Yo nunca monté un avión. Fue por primera vez que monté el avión. Sentí un... Oh, me quería salir el corazón demasiado. Entonces, pues yo... Mi amigo decía, cálmate, cálmate, no siente mal, siente tranquilo, relájate, porque aquí voy a cuidarte. Okay, está bien.
Well, no, I got something about his heart and getting very excited, and his friend Joe saying relax and that. So anyway, what else did he say?
Déjame traducir.
Okay.
He's saying that his character was Nen Kiwi in the film. And Ninkiwi plays a very pivotal role in the film, and I won't give it away any more than that. And Ninkiwi's character was taken up in the little airplane. It was a little, the missionaries flew a small plane to find the tribe. And he had to go up in this tiny little plane. He had never been in a plane in his entire life.
Yeah, okay.
So his heart was up. His heart wanted to leave. He was very scared. And his friend, Steve Saint, who actually is the son of one of the true slain missionaries who grew up in this village, was the pilot of the plane. So he says, relax. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting. All right. Well, that's a good place, I think, to suspend our conversation for a moment because we've got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for this hour. And, of course, it's the most important part of the show because without them, there's no us. So please listen, pay attention, support our advertisers. We'll come back and do a real quick current events, I promise, so we can get right back to our story. And then, of course, we've got another full hour after this one. And we'll complete the story because, as you know, their names are now the same. So there's a lot more to this story. And if you've checked out the websites now, if you didn't check out before, you may want to now. Ambera Village Tours, E-M-B-E-R-A, AmberaVillageTours.com, WhaleWatchingPanama.com, and DolphinHealing.net. We will be getting into all of that. And then, of course, we haven't talked about the gifts we've received, and apparently... Oh, and yours has a white tail. Oh, I like yours too.
Me too.
Oh my. Okay. How cool that. And all of the things that Anne is doing these days. And I can't wait to hear about it. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to.
Hello.
Oh, Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I had done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
Robin Alexis is offering a limited number of beautiful Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. These crystals are used by healers for their ability to magnify the flow of vital life force throughout the body, to promote healing, to reduce fear and anxiety, to induce a state of deep relaxation, and accelerate tissue healing. These crystals are also powerfully energized to activate the crown and solar plexus chakras, which assists you to obtain a more conscious connection to spirit. Golden Healer Lemurian crystals are a marvelous tool for doing any kind of energy work, meditation, or healing. In addition, these special crystals have been blessed by Robin Alexis at sacred sites at Mount Shasta. You can purchase these crystals for $22.95 from Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. Or email Bob at robinalexis.com for details. There is only a limited supply of these Lemurian crystals, so they're offered at a first-come, first-served basis.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And by the way, even though next Sunday will be Christmas morning, we will have a live show. I'm going to Temple, but Mike will be here, and Kevin McDonald, Kim Miller, Medium and Animal Intuitive will be here. Speaking of being here, we've got Ann Gordon de Barragan and Oatneal Barragan in the studio with us. We are in the middle of their love story in Panama, and we're going to be talking about all the incredible things that have happened with Ann's career and what all the work she's doing with the animals and so forth, and with the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you're checking out those websites. But we'll get back to all of that. Right now, we have to take a little bit of a break and take care of current events. All righty, I would say, you know, I take it for granted that everybody understands that this is, of course, the Jingle Cats singing That's Entertainment. But I'm sure for Oatneal, he didn't have a clue what song that is.
No, he doesn't. No. He's never heard cats singing before.
Well, yeah, and not to mention he didn't grow up hearing American
Correct.
Music and songs
yes.
and all of that. Amazing. And but I think by the smile on his face, I mean, your energy is absolutely phenomenal, Oatneal. You just, you glow, and your smile is, well, no wonder. I get it now, Ann.
Yeah, you get it.
I get it. And it's actually, I'm thinking, boy, I would love this Ambira Embera Village Tours sounding like a good idea.
Come on down.
But at any rate, I would imagine, just looking at his entrance, smile, that he's enjoying his time, his first time in the United States. And
he is.
And all the experiences so far.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to do current events here very quickly. I'm going to remind you all, talked about it last week, that our Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife Carilion Bear Dog, Cash, he's the second Carilion Bear Dog for the department, was injured recently and had to have his knee rebuilt to the tune of about $6,000. And Martha Jordan is fundraising to help pay the vet bills so we can get Cash back to work. And if you can contribute to Cash's medical fund, you make the check out to WDFWKBD/CashFund and mail it to 914 164th Street Southeast, PMB 272, and that's in Mill Creek, 98012. You can get that again on MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on Current Events. Free spay and neuter for pit bulls and pit bull mixes at NOAA in Stanwood in January, so give them a call if you're interested. May still be time to get some doggy Christmas wreaths to help rescues, 12 inches in diameter, different ribbons, but all full of dog bones. Meow's 2012 cat calendars now available through the mail. You can order by phone, 425-822-6369, or get it at the shelter. See, adopt a cat or a critter on the Humane Society throughout December. All adoption fees are waived on cats 1 year and older and all small animals. The Humane Society Holiday Pet Food Drive is happening throughout December at participating King County Safeway stores. Look for the donation barrels at the Safeway locations, and dry cat food is their greatest need. The Humane Society is also doing free spay and neuter surgeries for pit bull and pit bull mixes. And I think, we've got a couple of late additions here. I had dropped it from current events, but I saw it on the news again last night. The Rent Alive Christmas Tree at the Adopt a Stream Center up in Everett. It was going on all day yesterday, and I thought it was just a one-day deal because I know they had 200 Sitka spruce, Western red cedar, and Douglas firs available, and you rent them for $25 to $35. You know, take them home for Christmas and then bring them back after Christmas, and those trees that survive will be planted around salmon streams in the new year. But they apparently all did not get spoken for, so they are still renting trees through this week. So you can contact the Adopt a Stream Foundation in Everett, www.streamkeeper.org, or you can call them at 425-316-8592 to adopt a live Christmas tree. And then, again, this is thanks to Mike. Pet food toys, bedding needed immediately. Posado Safe Haven is gathering food, treats, toys, and supplies for this year's delivery on December 20th to less fortunate pet owners in our community. The requests and needs are greater than ever before. And so they need help gathering the following items. Dry and canned cat food is most urgently needed. Dog food, toys, dog and cat, fleece blankets, and washable bedding. And there are a number of locations where you can drop. There are drop-off bins in Monroe, in Seattle, Mercer Island, Bellevue, Redmond, Woodinville, Kirkland, Kenmore, Ballard, Bothell, Marysville, Everett, and Mill Creek. Go to www.posadosafehaven.org for that list of the drop-off bins. And hopefully you can help out. And remember, they're delivering on December 20th, so you don't have a lot of time left to do that. Okay, then. So I think that pretty much covers current events, except to say that next week is Christmas Day. I'm going to Temple. I get the day off, which is a blessing for me. But blessing for you is that Mike will be carrying on And holding down the fort in my absence will be Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive. They are really looking forward to being here Christmas morning. They're going to be talking about all the emotional energy that flies around at the holidays and how to deal with that for both humans and animals. And, of course, open phone lines so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on the other side or this side with you and all of that.
It'll be a K and K plus M
K and
next Sunday.
Well, how about an M plus K and K?
Yeah, I'm, so not, I'm usually not used to top billing.
Well, but you get that.
But
now.
I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Yeah.
M
okay.
plus K and K.
All right, let's correct it. It'll be an M plus K and K.
Yeah. You need to take actually, your rightful place.
I like the way that sounds. Sounds a little better.
Now, if you wanted to do alphabetical order, of course, it would be K and K plus M, but at least it's not KKK.
We could all be grateful for that.
Yeah, M plus K and K.
Yeah, that, there
yes.
you go.
All right. So let's wrap up this hour. We're going to listen to a couple of tunes by the Jingle Cats. Then we will be back and we'll finish up the Anne and Oatmeal love story. And then we're going to get into all of the wonderful work that they're doing now and find out about the wonderful gifts that we received and how you can get one too. Because I remember the first time Anne came back from Panama to call me up and said, I'll be on town and I've got stuff that they make. And you got to get. So I came. I still have some of the stuff that, because I bought woven baskets. I gave some of those as gifts. Mm-hmm. I've got some pouches, some all kinds mm-hmm. of neat native made items from mm-hmm. Panama. So I imagine that's probably. Are these native made?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay. So if you want to find out what they are, you're going to have to stay with us. Animal World continues with Anne and Oatmeal straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.